She had a vision that jazz would one day be the music that's of the future. You see, don't you agree? We'll help to see that her vision will come true, and all the world will be blessed by it too. This song is here to stay, my friend. Just wait and see. The people have made it part of jazz history. You know, so it would seem that everybody loves Nika's dream.
Nika, 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 Nika's
that's of the future, you see. Don't you agree? We'll help to see that her vision will come true, and all the world will be blessed by it too. This song is here to stay, my friend. Just wait and see. The people have made it part of jazz history. You know.
It's Nika's Dream by Lila Ammons, who has a long history of vocal music, from opera to oratorio to jazz to boogie-woogie. It's in her genes, inspired by her piano-playing band-leading grandfather Albert Ammons and her sax-playing uncle Gene Ammons. I think he has a nickname, doesn't he?
Jug.
Jug. Gene Jug Ammons. And Lila has a new album coming out just days from now that we want to hear about. So we want to welcome you, Lila Ammons, to Center Stage, Minnesota. Thanks for being here.
Gosh, thank you so much. I'm loving being up here. I've never been up here, and it is beautiful. What a wonderful drive up.
It's totally worth coming up to northern Minnesota. It's a little bit different than the Twin Cities, and it stays light longer, so you can stay up later.
That's what I heard. I love that. That'll be great.
So tell us about your new album. It's called Genealogy, Celebration of Jazz Tradition and Legacy, and what's the background of that? Where did the name come from, and where do the songs come from that you chose?
Well, I think it came from the fact that I've had such a wide variety of music in my musical life, starting out in classical music, as you said, and then I segued into boogie-woogie and classic blues, and from that, I'm doing what I really want to do, which is more jazz oriented. But I think I was trying to figure out a way, because I've had all these experiences, I was trying to figure out a way, you know, how could I frame all these interests and all these experiences that I've had musically. And so I thought about that, and I thought about history, and I thought about roots, and then I started thinking about the roots of music, then I started thinking about the roots of my family, and then all of a sudden the word genealogy popped up in my head. I thought of family roots, and then I realized Gene's name is in that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I said, oh, Gene's name is right in that name. So that's got to be the name of this album. So it's about my family roots, the kind of a history of my life, and also my appreciation, my deep appreciation for jazz, as it has become such a world music. I've been touring for the last 10 years, and I see how people really love this music. So I really wanted to celebrate how this music has become a world music, you know, belonging to everyone. And I wanted to pay homage to the roots of the music that we all love.
Yeah, and this song, Nika's Dream, that we just heard, it has a world beat kind of sound to it. How did that come about?
Well, my producer was traveling in islands. I don't know what islands he was at, where they have this Garifuna culture. And I told him I wanted to do something to reflect a little bit about Horace Silver, because his dad was from the Cape Verde, or now they call it Cabo Verde, islands over there off of Africa, which is, you know, just a cultural hotbed of so many different influences. And so I said, I love music, and I love all those influences. So I said, let's try to bring some of that African influence and island and multicultural influence into this song. And he had just had a vacation in the islands, and so he came back with this rhythm with him. And so it fit beautifully with what I was thinking of and what we both came up with.
Yeah, that's great. What makes me happy to hear about that is that how that ties in then to that idea that jazz can be something that goes beyond just United States music, which we think of it as, mm-hmm. but it goes on even further. And that's mm-hmm. as our world gets smaller, we want to recognize those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And you've been traveling through a wide variety of music. How has mm-hmm. it been to make those transitions into each different style?
Well, as you can imagine, after doing studying opera, it was about a 20-year journey, and 13 years of actually performing opera and oratorio and classic music. From a technical standpoint, it was a little challenging because I had to get used to using a microphone, whereas when you're singing classical, you are the microphone, okay? So you're placing all these demands on your body that you normally wouldn't, just like a dancer does things that are, like, insane, you know, to their bodies, and they make it look so easy, you know? So we work out in a very similar physical way, and I had to undo some of that because I had these tendencies. And I was, at first, when I first started to make the transition, I was known as the girl who sang too loud.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody had told one of the musicians in town, you know, oh, I heard Lila sing the other day. She actually is starting to sound pretty good. And he says, is she still singing loud? He said, no, she's doing great. So, you know, it's learning the microphone technique. And I have to say that my background in opera has been invaluable. I'm really glad I did it. And if you can really get into a little more idiomatic, the music more idiomatic, then you can really, you can have a prolonged, prolonged singing life. So my classical music really has helped in that way. But it's been interesting. Doing the boogie-woogie was really different for me. And at first I thought, whoa, what am I doing here? But the more I did it, the more I started to enjoy these classic songs that people like Helen Humes and Georgia White and Sippy Wallace, all these wonderfully double entendred songs, I started, and some of which I was too shy to even sing, to tell you the truth. But, you know, I started to really appreciate that. And then I started to really get into the blues. And the blues is what actually pushed me over the edge for my jazz. And I started to realize how important knowing that and being that is in order to maintain a certain degree of authenticity in jazz music.
So I'm just really curious. We had someone in here, I'm trying to remember, I think it was Connie Evenson, who you probably know.
Yes, I do.
And she was talking about how she would love to do an aria someday.
Oh.
But she feels like she, you know, it would be just too hard for her to do all that technical training that it would involve to get to that point.
Sure.
You're saying you've moved in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. Was there a time when you would have thought, like, I'll never, ever do that other music?
Meaning what I'm doing right now?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think so because, I'll tell you why. Because when I was growing up, I was listening to all kinds of pop music. I was mm-hmm. listening to all of this stuff before I actually went forayed into the opera. I was doing classical. I was doing musical theater, you know. But always in the back, I always had this curiosity about this music. And in fact, when I was in the conservatory in New York, I used to kind of sneak off with a piano friend of mine, and sometimes we'd go singing at a little restaurant.
Oh, fun.
His name was John Harkins. He's a wonderful pianist who is now in Australia, doing very well. So I always, you know, it always kind of in the back of my mind thought, gosh, I really like that music a lot, you know. So it has been probably 35, almost I would say 40-year journey to where I am right today.
Wow. Very exciting. And we're going to hear that music. That's really, we get the chance to hear you sing it up close and personal, and that's fun. Tell us about this next song we're going to hear off your new CD. This one is called I Love You Madly.
Yeah, that's a Duke Ellington tune. And, of course, he was one of our most prolific songwriters and most influential composers and personalities in jazz. And I haven't sung a lot of his music over the years. And every time I would do something, someone would ask me, do you do Ellington? And then I finally, I don't know, maybe I needed to mature into it. Hmm. I'm thinking maybe I needed to mature into it because he was a deep guy, you know. And so there was something very reverential about his music. So I started in the last couple of years to sing, work on his, do some of his stuff. And I actually ended up with 3 of his tunes on my CD because I just absolutely love it. And so I decided to do this because this is representing sort of early classic jazz style, swing style of singing. So I wanted to put on a tune like that, and this fits really beautiful with that.
I think it does. Yeah. Let's listen to I Love You Madly with Lila Ammons on Center Stage Minnesota.
Love you madly, right or wrong, sounds like the lyric of a song. But since it's so, I thought you ought to know I love you madly. Better fish up in the sea is not a theory for me, and that's for sure, just like I said before, I love you madly. If you could see the happy you and me I dream about so proudly, you'd see that breath of spring that makes me sing my love song so loudly. Good things come to those who wait, so just relax and wait for fate to let me see the day you say to me, I love you, love you, love you madly. So proudly, you see the breath of spring that makes me sing my love song so loudly. Good things come to those who wait, so just relax and wait for fate to let me see the day you say to me, I love you.
That's Lila Ammons with I Love You Madly, a Duke Ellington song on Center Stage Minnesota. Lila, am I right in saying the choices that you made on this song were to use, I mean, I think of it as kind of like the minimal amount of support from the music. It really enhances your voice. Is that a choice, or how does that work out?
Yeah, that was, we definitely wanted to explore different instrumentation, you know, different types of instrumentation. And we really wanted something that was kind of bare and just show the music for what it is. And that's exactly what we did on that tune.
Yeah, I think it works so well. Your album's coming out soon.
Yes.
What are you going to do to support it? What's your plan for that? Are you going to be out and about?
Well, yeah, I am working on doing a tour, hopefully starting in 2020, some around the United States, and I'm working to get back to Europe. I just started reintroducing myself to Europe as a jazz singer because they know me as a classic blues singer. So I did start getting some invitations out there in Ireland and Ireland and Spain and where else? England. And so I'm hoping to go back over there with this new, my new invention of myself, and hopefully people will like it.
Yes, I'm sure they will. When you're out and touring now, what are you hoping for when you go to this new, return to this area you've been before and bring your new style?
Well, I hope that I will probably end up with a lot of new people in my life because I have to say that in the boogie-woogie and classic, or boogie-woogie, as they say in London, and classic blues world, they're pretty puritanical about their music. They're very protective, and it's wonderful because, I mean, the audiences there are amazing. I mean, they come in numbers. They fill the houses. I mean, I've sung in the Berlin Philharmonic and Hamburg Philharmonic and Vienna Philharmonic. They fill those halls to come and hear this music, and they buy the CDs. They come to there because they love it. So that is a wonderful experience. So it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a different, slightly different audience. But I'm really looking forward to it because jazz, again, everywhere is loved too. I mean, Japan, even China. I was looking the other day at these young artists in China who are doing jazz now. It's just amazing. Yeah.
That's exciting. It seems like it'll be an exciting thing for you to go out and do that. As you're doing that, are you looking ahead to what you'll do next, or is it enough to just do this tour?
Well, as my CD says, she doesn't know where she goes next, but she's excited to find out where that will be.
Yeah.
I'm looking to see where this is all going to lead me. The thing about music for me, what I think I love and what resonates most for me is the traveling and the people that I've met through the music. And that has always been really strong ever since I was a very young kid. In fact, when I was in fifth grade, I wanted to be a music ambassador. That's what I wanted to do. And so, in a small sense, I've been able to do a little bit of that. And so I'd like to continue doing that.
Great. Mm-hmm. That will be wonderful. I'm guessing you'll be a good one for us, so we'll send you out there. We'll commission you right now.
I love it. That would be great.
We'll give you a bumper sticker to wear. That'll be your commission.
There you go.
Well, tell us about the last song that we have from your new album. I want to say this is Lila Ammons we're talking to, and the new album's called Genealogy, A Celebration of Jazz Tradition and Legacy. But don't let that long title scare you. It's just wonderful, beautiful music. This next song is called I Feel You. What is that? Tell us about that.
Well, this is my way of representing kind of what's happening today, that there are some songwriters out there who are still writing real jazz music, okay? And I heard this guy, Bill Conto's music, actually being sung by one of my favorites from the 70s and 80s, Flora Purim, the beautiful Brazilian artist. And I thought, wow, and she has a really fantastic album, recent album out of just some beautiful music. And he has produced it, I believe, produced that. And two of his songs is on this album, and they caught my ear. And I said, wow, I really like this. So I went and I bought his CD and started listening to his music. And so I chose this song that she's recorded and then decided she does it in 3/4, he does it in 3/4. And we took it and we put it in 4/4 and kind of hyper stylized it a little tiny bit. Hopefully Bill will like it. He's coming to town just coincidentally in September, and I'm going to hand it to him and say, I hope you like what I did, because he was so nice to send me charts and everything for
Great.
It. Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. Let's listen to I Feel You. You've been listening to Lila Ammons on Center Stage Minnesota. Her new album, Genealogy, A Celebration of Jazz, Tradition, and Legacy, comes out on August 4th. If you want to see her live on stage, she'll be at Mill City's Farmers Market in Minneapolis tomorrow from 11 to 1. And the release party for her album is at the Dakota in Minneapolis on Sunday, August 4th at 8 o'clock. Lila, thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. Just another afternoon on the sidewalks of London. All the gray and rainy days run together. Streets of stars. Suddenly I'm not alone. I feel you. I feel you. Every time I think I've lost you, it seems that you find me. Blown through me like the winds of December. Though you've gone away so far, still I turn and there you are. I feel you. I feel you. I feel you beside me, my head on your shoulder, your fragrance, your laughter, your touch. I'm lost in remembering the reasons I miss you so much. How could I ever think about a lifetime that happens without you? Even if my only hope is a memory. Please don't let us be apart. Just wrap yourself around my heart and let me feel you. Let me feel you. Your laughter, your touch. I'm lost in remembering the reasons I miss you so much, so much. How could I ever think about a lifetime that happens without you? Even if my only yourself around my heart, let me feel you, let me feel you.
is a memory. Please don't let us be apart. Enwrap yourself